It's been a blessing for me to be here, and so many of you guys have had such encouraging words to say to me, and I'm going to tell you something. It means a lot to me. You know, I'm 38 years old, but I'd like to consider myself a young preacher, and every time I get ready to preach, man, I'm nervous like a big old dog, and I think it's a good thing from an athletic standpoint. One of my coaches always told me, he said, are you nervous? You got butterflies? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, that's good. That means you're ready. He said, nervousness is a sign of readiness. So, and it also helped me realize just how much I need the Lord. And I'd be shaking in my boots until the plane kind of take off. And I just feel like I can sense the Spirit of God bringing back to my remembrance things that he's spoken to me. And during this hour, I'd like to treat it with this type of setup. I'd like to treat it somewhat like a Sunday school class. And I'm going to try to teach you something from the Bible that the Lord has showed me, not saying that you haven't seen it. Maybe I'm reminding you of something. But in the midst of my teaching or in the midst of my teaching, I might get a little preachy. And as long as you're okay with that, we'll make it through this together. Now, if I get a little long-winded, go ahead and flag me down at 5 minutes till the next hour, because even though I had lunch, I'm still hungry. I'll never pass up an opportunity to eat. And if you're halfway like me, when it's time to eat, listen, I don't want to hear nothing else. It's time to eat. Amen. Don't want to prolong the service. So with that being said, take your Bibles this time and turn with me to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading here at verse number 12. In just a moment, Colossians chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse number 12 in just a moment. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul mentioned several of people by name to the saints at Colossae. And one of the individuals that he mentioned by name was a man by the name of Epaphras. Now, I didn't grow up hooked on phonics, so I know that I can butcher the King's English with the best of them. But I do, when I know I got the preacher mess and they got all these sophisticated names in the Bible, I do try to go and listen to some eloquent readers pronounce the name. And I also try to use the breakdown that's there in the Bible. Now in my Bible, I got authorized King James Version of the Bible. His name is broken down into three syllables, right? So it's not Epaphras, it's Epaphras. So I'm not wrong. If you thought it was Epaphras, you're wrong. I'm right. Amen. So don't be sitting there in your sanctimonious attitude correcting me the whole time. I'm saying his name right. Paul mentioned the name. See, I done got all off track right there. But it's like Sunday school. Amen. One of the individuals that he mentioned by name was a man by the name of Epaphras. And the thing that Paul mentioned about Epaphras was his prayer life to the saints at Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 4, beginning here at verse number 12, the Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Look with me again at verse number 12 in this chapter. In Colossians chapter 4, in the heart of verse number 12, the Bible says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. And God, just by the thought of this man's prayer life, I stand convicted. Because, Lord, I know too many times I have neglected to pray. God, I ask you to forgive me. Even during a season like this, Lord, this prayer advance, I know that there have been a increase in prayer in my life. But I'm afraid, dear God, that shortly hereafter, I go back to what I'm accustomed to doing when it comes to praying, and that's a little of nothing. So, Lord, I pray and I should help me. God, I pray and ask you to help these men. Lord, help us to embrace the challenge. Help us, dear God, to truly be men of prayer. Speak to our hearts, dear God. Have your will and way. And when the last amen is said, may we be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, in which thou art so worthy of. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. What a privilege it is to be able to go to God in prayer on behalf of others. You see, Epaphras was a convert of Paul, according to some historians. And they tell us that he was the man who no doubt founded the church. He was the pastor of the church at Colossae. But at this particular time, when Paul wrote what we might call this prison epistle to the saints at Colossae, Epaphras was a prisoner with Paul in Rome. Yet his heart was burdened for the saints of God at Colossae, who were being bombarded by the heresy of false teachers. And because of that, Epaphras made it his business to engage in fervent prayers on behalf of the people that were so dear to his heart on a continuous basis. Unlike Epaphras, many Christians today could care less about praying for themselves, yet alone praying for somebody else. Now, I know that this is a room filled with men of prayer, and perhaps I need to be preaching or teaching this down the road somewhere, but God has just happened to give me an opportunity to share this with you here and now. So I'm going to say it again. Unlike Epaphras, many Christians today could care less about praying for themselves, yet alone interceding for someone else. Can I be honest with you? There are times in my life when I will honestly admit to you that I don't have sense enough to pray for myself. So ain't no need for me sometimes to talk about praying for somebody else. There are times in my life when I ain't got sense enough to pray for myself. There are many Christians today who no doubt name and name Jesus, could care less about praying for themselves, yet alone interceding for somebody else. Nowadays, a lot of Christians, watch this now, are more likely to talk about praying rather than pray. You know, sometimes I spend a whole lot of time thinking about praying. Man, I could be sitting in my study, and I can look either in that chair that I turn around and pray in, or I can look at the foot of that bed, and I'm sitting there for an hour and a half thinking about praying. Or I get on the phone with one of my preacher buddies, and I talk to him about praying. But you know what? When the day go by, I look back and I say, man, I didn't do a whole lot of praying. And there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians who would much rather talk about praying rather than pray. Let's face it. Continuous, fervent prayer is hard work. Listen, I can read chapters upon chapters of my Bible. I can sit down and try to prepare sermons. But when it comes to praying the way God wants me to pray, you know what I realize? Well, fervent prayer is hard. That's why a lot of people don't do it. See, a lot of us, if we're honest, are not willing to pay the price that it takes to engage in fervent prayer on a continual basis. See, it's not just about how much we pray during these 2 or 3 days that we're gathered here, but how much are we going to pray when we leave the prayer advance? I'm going to tell you something. One of our great needs today is for men like Epaphras, prayer warriors, who knows what it means to agonize with God in prayer on behalf of other people. Therefore, the purpose of this message, or this lesson, if you will, is to challenge us as Christians to engage in continuous, fervent prayers on behalf of our fellow believers. Now, as we take a closer look at this particular chapter of the Bible, or passage of the Bible, notice, first of all, the work of Epaphras. If you're taking notes, the work of Epaphras. In Colossians chapter 4, look with me again at verse number 12. The Bible says, Epaphras, so Paul is mentioning this man by name, who is one of you. He was no doubt a perhaps a native of Colossae, perhaps he had to be a member of the church there in Colossae. And as some historians believe, he was the pastor of that church. And Paul writes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Epaphras, who is one of you, here it is, a servant of Christ. Now, this is not the point that I'm trying to make. I'm just trying to bring out a few things in this verse. You know, sometimes, even as I read that, Paul identified this man under the inspiration of the Spirit of God as a servant of Christ. Now, I ain't trying to put you in the same boat I'm in, but sometimes I could be real lazy at best. And when I think about my life since I've been saved, and when I think about the person I know I can be sometimes, you know, I have a hard time identifying myself as a servant of Christ. I'm so self-centered. I'm so full of me. I'm so stinking sorry that I have a hard time identifying myself as a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Paul, in writing, he says, Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, he says this, saluteth you, here it is, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So here we find that Paul, he extended a greeting on behalf of Epaphras to the saints at Colossae. He said, hey, he saluteth you. He sends a greeting to you. He says, hello. And in the process, here's what he did. Paul informed the saints at Colossae of the hard work Epaphras was engaging in his prayer life on their behalf. Paul said, hey, I want you to know something. Epaphras says hello, but can I tell you, this man is always laboring fervently for you in his prayers. Here's the thing. Epaphras engaged in continuous agonizing. That's what that word laboring fervently means. If you look it up, that word laboring fervently, that's where we get the word agonize from. This man just wasn't casually praying. He was laboring fervently. He was agonized. He was engaged in heartfelt prayers for the saints at Colossae. Get this. With all of his might, he strained himself like an athlete trying to win a contest in his prayers to God for the saints at Colossae. Let me ask you a question. When the last time you just exhausted yourself praying and interceding on behalf of somebody else? This man, it was a full-time job for him. He was wholeheartedly given to intercede praying on behalf of the saints of God at Colossae. Let me give you this quote from F.B. Meyer. Here's what F.B. Meyer had to say. He said, it was no runaway knock he gave. I'm going to finish the quote in just a minute. In other words, he was saying that, hey, Epaphras didn't say, hi, God, bye, God. You know, that's me sometimes. Oh, God, I'll see you later. And guess where I'm going? ESPN, Sports Center, First Take. You say, well, I ain't got that ESPN hang up. Well, here you are. Hi, God. Bye, God. Load up the truck, son. Get the rifles. It's time for a hunt. God bless this hunt in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, hey, he didn't, this was no runaway knock that he gave. No light breathing of desire, no formal mention of their names, but it seems as though he was a wrestler whose muscles stood out like whip cords as he agonized for the prize. In other words, F.B. was right in a sense, in a descriptive sense, as if when Epaphras was praying, you could see the strands of his muscles. This man was training so hard, it almost appeared like he was a bodybuilder or an athlete trying to win the contest. He was waging war in prayer on behalf of the saints at Colossae. Pouring his heart out to God. Wholeheartedly given to this thing. It wasn't no hit and miss deal for him. And notice, Epaphras prayed specifically He was straight to the point that the saints at Colossae would be spiritually mature or of a full age and fully persuaded in all the will of God. Let's look at verse 12 again. The Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Somebody say, well, what was he praying? Listen, I heard a preacher say one time that nothing is dynamic unless it's specific. In other words, our generalities in our prayers, when we just go to God and we throw these blanketed statements at God, listen, that ain't worth a hill of beans. You might well not open your mouth. We have to learn to get specific with God. We have to learn to become up close and personal with God. By the way, when we think about the prayers of confession and all that type of stuff, you know what I learned? It's always easier and better for me to be open and honest with God. You know why? Because I ain't telling God nothing he don't know. Listen, you ain't got to tell God you wicked. He already know. I don't have to go to God like I'm informing him of something. Oh, God, you know it's been hard on me. Oh, God, you know I ain't but dust. I mean, that sounds good. It sounds real spiritual, but he already know. He already know. And so we don't have to shuck and jive with God. We can come clean with God, and we need to be specific in our prayers to God about whatever it is. Here was Epaphras praying straight to the point. He was specific about a matter, and here was his prayer. Here it is. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, if you read this epistle in its entirety, you will find out that the saints at Colossae were dealing with false teachers. They were trying to conform, or they were trying to add other philosophies and other teachings to the gospel. And Epaphras was praying that they would stand perfect, or not perfect in terms of faultless, but that word perfect, you know it means spiritually mature. He was praying that they become of full age, that they would be perfect, listen, and complete. In other words, he was praying that they would be fully persuaded, that they would be fully assured in the center of God's will. In other words, that God would give them, watch this, the victory over all them tugs that was happening. That they not go to the philosophers of this world. That they not go to the false teachers, the religious false teachers of this world, but that they would stand perfect and complete in the center of God's will. By the way, think about how encouraging it must have been for the saints of God to learn that Epaphras was praying for them in such a way in the midst of their troubles. You know, a lot of times, the Bible tells us we ought not pray for show and be hypocritical in our prayers and things like that. But it is a blessing to know that somebody is praying for you. You know, it is a blessing to know that sometimes in my most difficult times, in those times in my life when I feel like quitting, that there's another brother somewhere that's praying for me. And I can only imagine the vote of encouragement or the jolt of encouragement it must have been for them to read that, hey, man, Epaphras, he's praying for us. By the way, you don't have to be a pastor to pray for God's people. You don't have to be a deacon or an usher or any of that there. Listen, you can be a plain old layman, if you will, and have an effective prayer life for God's people. Here's the take home. As Christians, we ought to engage in continuous, fervent prayer for one another, praying that we might stand perfect and complete in the center of God's will. Listen, we ought to go to bat for one another. Man, we ought to pray for one another. Listen, I said this earlier, but I'm gonna say it again. Let's not leave our prayer life at the prayer advance. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you men don't pray. I don't know you personally. I can tell on myself. I know oftentimes I don't pray like I should. I'm just telling you. One, you know, we like to categorize sin and talk about big sin, little sin. We say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't play a lot, I don't chase women, all this and that. But listen, prayerlessness is sin. When you don't pray like you ought to, and when I won't pray like I ought to, that's sin just like any other sin. And I'm telling you, there are times I know before Almighty God that I don't pray like I should. And since the time of coming through here, I know that there's been an increase of prayer in my own life in these last few days. You know what my hope is? God, don't let me leave that increase at the advance. Lord, help me to leave here praying. God, help me to go down the road 6-7 hours or however long it's going to take me to get back to Nashville. Lord, help me to continue in prayer. God, help me to intercede on behalf of the brethren that I met here, even though I may not know your name. Help me to pray for Colonial Baptist Church. And help me to pray for Bible Baptist Temple. And help me to pray for the brethren, God. Help me to labor in prayer. And that's the take home we ought to take. Listen, we got work to do. We ought to continue in fervent prayer for one another. You say, well, man, I get down there, I can't pray but 10 minutes. Well, it might be 10 minutes a day, but I believe we keep at it. What he might not be in here, little Dave Young's son that's with him. He's talking about his brother at lunch. I'm telling on him. He's talking about his brother at lunch and how his brother can run like, I think he said about 8 miles in 12 minutes or something. I might have the numbers wrong. But his brother can run pretty good. I don't know if it was sibling rivalry, but I know he was just talking about it. And I tried to encourage him being a former athlete myself, even though I don't look like it. I said, how you think he got to that point? I said, it didn't just happen overnight. He worked at it. That's why I'm so big and out of shape. I'm not willing to work at it like I used to be. That's a whole nother message right there. I told you I'm going to treat it like a Sunday school class, so don't give me an F in hermeneutics because my delivery ain't as clear as it was over there. But anyway, I say he worked at it. He worked at it. I say he's built up that cardiovascular strength, if you will. And now he's come to a place where he can run as long as he run, as fast as he run. I say, listen, if you work at it, it'll happen for you. He didn't want to hear that. Now, you might not be able to pray like Dr. So-and-so, or Brother So-and-so, or Sister So-and-so. But you can start where you at, and I can start where I'm at. And if we keep at it, eventually God will grow our prayer life. But if we stay in that high God, by God mode, then that's where we're going to be at all our Christian life. Let me hurry up. Number one, we see the work of Epaphras. I got good time. Amen. Number two, notice the witness of Paul. In verse number 13, the Bible says, for I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. Uh-oh, it included somebody else. And them in Hierapolis. Here's the thing. Paul testified that Epaphras had a great zeal or a great enthusiasm and passion for the saints at Colossae, as well as for the brethren and the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but using what bit of sanctified imagination that I got, you know, I believe that Paul and Epaphras were probably cellmates. They had to no doubt be locked up together in order for Paul to know about this man's prayer life, right? Okay, all right, just want to make sure y'all are with me on that. And when Epaphras prayed, listen now, his heart was on display. By the way, there is nothing that will reveal a man's heart like what comes out of his mouth. When we get down there and we can't halfway open our mouth and talk to God, stammering and stuttering and carrying on, you know what? Chances are something is not right in our heart with God. Did y'all get that, or do I need to say it again? That was preaching in the midst of the teaching right there. Paul and Epaphras were probably cellmates. And when Epaphras prayed, his heart was on display. And Paul heard this man pour out his heart to God on behalf of the brethren in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. And because of that, Paul was able to testify as an ear witness of the great zeal that Epaphras had for the brethren in all three of these cities, which he demonstrated and his fervent prayers for them. Let me give you this quote from one commentator. One commentator said this. He said, I'm impressed with the fact that Epaphras prayed for believers in three different cities. We are fortunate today if church members pray for their own pastor and church. Now, you don't have to stone me. This is what he said. He said, we are fortunate today if church members pray for their own pastors and churches, let alone believers in other places. Perhaps one of the reasons that revival tarries is because we do not pray fervently for one another. Can I help with something? Can I help with something? It's okay for us to pray for the brothers and sisters in our local church. That's okay. That's not a crime. That's what we ought to do. You say, well, I don't like him and I don't like her. I tell you something, if you start to pray for them, it'll help your heart. It'll help your attitude towards them. The reason we have such hang-ups with one another a lot of times is because we don't pray for one another like we should. Y'all stay with me now. That almost went over like a lead balloon there. I told you, maybe I should be saying this to the group of men down the road. I just happen to be saying it here. It's okay. It's okay for us to pray for the brothers and sisters in our local church. And watch this. Yes, it's okay for us to pray for the brethren in the churches down the road. You know what this gives us an opportunity to do when we come here? Not just pray and confess and get right, but get to meet other brothers from other churches. We get to leave here, watch this, with a list of churches, with a list of pastors. Now, you may not have it in writing. Maybe you need to write it down. I don't know. Maybe I need to write it down. But you know what I learned? A lot of times we can't pray for the brothers and sisters in the church down the road is because we don't know one another. We're so caught up in ourselves, and as I said earlier, in our tradition or in our own personal preferences, that we can't even stoop down and pray for the brethren down the road. Something wrong with us. This man had it in his heart to not only pray for the saints at Colossae, but he prayed for the church at Laodicea and Hierapolis. He had a burden for the brethren down the road. I think that'll help us. I think that'll help us to lay aside some of the so-called differences that we have with one another. Watch this. If we learn to pray for one another like we should. And get this, when we start praying for one another like we should, we'll learn to feel about one another how we ought to feel. Paul said this man has a great zeal for you. He's excited. The thought of you is a blessing to his heart. But not just for you. For them in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. And it had nothing to do with status quo. Because history tells me that the church at Laodicea, that was a pretty wealthy up-and-up city. And an up-and-up church. They had some money. They had some prestige, if you will, from a secular standpoint. Epaphras didn't look at them like they had the cooties. He went to God on their behalf, and Paul testified of the zeal, the witness that this he witnessed on behalf of this man's prayer life for these churches, for the brethren in these cities. And the only way he was able to do it is because he heard this man pray. And here's the thing. As Christians, there ought to be someone who can bear witness of the great zeal that we have for one another because of how we pray for one another. What does our prayer life say about us? You know, there have been times in my life when I felt God prompting me to pray for a family member, to pray for another Christian, to pray for even somebody who I might consider my enemy. And you know what happened? When I went to pray for him, it's almost like I got choked up and couldn't pray. You know why? My heart wasn't right towards him.
It didn't bless me to mention them in my prayers. They don't deserve to be in my prayers.
You ever felt like that about anybody? Now this man, he had a great zeal, great dude. He was passionate about God's people. Man, we in the family of God. That ought to bless your heart. We all children of God. We all on the same playing field, on the same level at the cross. All of us need Jesus. You ain't no better than me, and I ain't no better than you. Man, we ought to be excited. We ought to take advantage of the privilege that we have to go to God and intercede on behalf of our fellow believers. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to engage in wholehearted, fervent prayer on behalf of God's people. You say, "Well, man, I don't know the people in the church 6 miles down the road from me." Well, listen, if they've been born again in the family of God and they love Jesus, you may not know that beforehand, but if there's some evidence in that, won't you go down there and introduce yourself? Yeah. We were sitting in in the restaurant today, and I've heard another preacher do this before, and I don't think he was doing it for show. But he said to the waiter, he said, "Sir, we getting ready to pray. Is there anything I can pray for you about?" Yeah. Now, here was a Christian doing this to a total stranger. How much more should Christians be willing to go down the road and say, "Hey, brother, God bless you, love you. I know we've been in the same city for 25 years together. You don't know me, and I don't know you, but I've learned that I ought to be praying for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about?" Y'all think I'm being facetious and crazy and stuff like that? Listen, one thing about evangelists, we get to hit the road a little bit. And I ain't picking on nobody, but I done been with pastors that 3 miles down the road, there's another church who named the name Jesus. He don't know nothing about them. Let me hurry up. Epaphras was a man of prayer. 10 minutes. Amen. I'm going to get done early anyway. And if y'all want to leave, we can leave. And if you got a question or two for me, you can ask that. And when it's all said and done, we'll be through 5 minutes before it's time to go. Remember, now, I told you this was like Sunday school, so y'all going to have to take this part out the recording. Amen. Epaphras was a man of prayer. He labored fervently in his prayers for the churches in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. Dear Christians, let us, like Epaphras, labor fervently in our prayers for one another on a continuous basis. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. And God, I pray that in spite of my stammer and stutter, God, you've spoken to the hearts of this thy people. And Lord, I pray and ask you to help us. Lord, prayerlessness is sin. And God, I know there have been so many times, so many seasons in my life where I haven't prayed as I should. I haven't been fervent in my prayer, Lord God. It's just been a high and by situation. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that. And I pray, Lord God, for anyone here who knows you're a Savior, Lord God, but can attest to that in their lives as well. And Lord, I pray and ask you to help us. Lord, I know that there's been an increase of prayer in my life and during this prayer advance and maybe in the lives of other believers here. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep it going. And Lord, help us to take a page out of Epaphras' book to, Lord, labor fervently in our prayers, Lord God, on behalf of fellow believers, Lord, on a continuous basis, Lord God. Help us, we pray. Burden our hearts in this matter. Help us to pray, dear God, that we stand perfect and complete, Lord, in all your will. Lord, that we not deviate with all of this nonsense going on in our world today. Help us, we pray. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen and amen.